So here's Paul writing to Timothy. Unlike so many of Paul's letters to the churches, this is a very personal letter. If we read the verses in between the two that I read, he speaks of individuals and what they're doing and what they should do. And throughout the book, he is giving advice to Timothy about how he should be and what he should do. And so it's a little different than Paul's letters to the churches. And as such, it speaks very personally of his awareness that his life is ending, is ebbing, is seeping away. See, the Greeks and Romans, in their tradition, when they began a meal or sat down to share some wine, would pour some out as a gift to the gods. He's saying his life is being poured out upon the ground, and he gives it to our God. And he gives it without a problem. He gives it with enthusiasm. He gives it with rejoicing because he knows that he has done God's work. He says he's fought the good fight and kept the faith. Can we say that? If we knew that our lives were ending tomorrow or next week or next month or soon, or that we had something that was bringing us to the end of our time here on earth, could we say that? That I have fought the good fight, that I have done God's will, that I have kept the faith? Or would we be scurrying to make amends? Would we be hurrying to try and get straight? Would we be worrying about whether we were right or not? Paul is passionate in his commitment to the work that he has done. He's excited about the opportunity to go from this world into the next world, the better world, that he has assurance. He is sure he is going to. He has no question in his mind, at least according to what he says here to Timothy. He knows where he's going. As I heard a preacher say once, he knows whose he is. He knows who he belongs to. He belongs to Jesus. And he knows where he is and where he's going. That's a good feeling, to know who you are and where you are and where you're going. To know that your life is straight. Oh, not perfect, not without fault, not without mistakes, not without sins. I mean, remember Saul, the Paul, the person Paul was before he met Jesus on the road, before he met the risen Christ, before he was struck blind. He wasn't a very nice person. He was oppressing the Christians. He was putting them in jail. He was getting them stoned. He was fighting to blot out the church. And then Christ appeared to him, and he became a new person. Have we become new people? Are we becoming new people? Do we want to become new people, or do we want to wait till the last minute and just jump on the bandwagon as it goes down the last? That's dangerous theology. Wait until the last minute means that we might get left behind. Wait until the last minute means we might not be in the right place at the right time, in the right space in our heads, with the right thoughts and the right words. Being a Christian is not easy. Being a disciple of Christ is not simple. Being right relationship with God is tough. But the rewards are huge. Amen. Paul speaks of the crown of righteousness that he will receive for what he has done. Not just the work that he has done, but the faith that he has shown. Not just the service that he has performed, but the belief that he has committed himself to. I want to know that I am pointed in the right direction. I want to know that I am doing the right thing. I want to be a part of that heavenly effort to bring that heavenly kingdom closer to earth. I want to serve that Lord who has served me so well. Someone gave his life for me. How can I not give my life to him? Someone was willing to die for me. How can I not be willing to live for him? If I believe these words, if I believe these teachings, if I believe this promise that I can be, in fact, an heir to the kingdom of heaven with Christ, to wear that crown, to be clothed in that glory, to be transformed into a member of the company of heaven, how can I not work to bring the world into a more heavenly state? Because if I'm not working to make the world a better place, then I am working to make it worse. See, the devil doesn't have to work very hard. All he has to do is nudge us once in a while, and we do his work for him. It's our own weaknesses, it's our own hungers, it's our own appetites, it's our own selfishness that does his work. He only has to tempt us. He only has to trick us. He only has to offer us the wrong things for us to want to do the wrong things. It's being straight, it's being right, it's being righteous that is hard work. Because the human condition is to be tempted and to give in to that temptation, to be earthly and to give in to that earthliness, to be human. We can choose to be better than that, but we have to work at it. It gets easier with practice, but we still have to work at it. We get better as we read and study and contemplate and share and work together to understand His Word. But we still have to work at it. He gives us such wondrous blessings in this life. We've talked about the glories of the world that He gives us and the beauty and the joy that we have in our families and in our lives and our accomplishments. But all of that is a small thing if we're not also working for the kingdom. And if we are working for the kingdom, then all of those things that we enjoy here on earth, we can enjoy with a joyful heart, with a peace that goes beyond understanding. And when things turn tough and things are hard and we're sick, we're hurting, we're ill, we're unhappy, we've lost loved ones, we're struggling with all those things that we all also have to struggle with. We don't get consumed by them because we know whose we are. We know where we are and we know where we're going. I know I love being here in this church and I love being part of His family and I love sharing His Word with you. But that's just here. If He sends me somewhere else, then if I serve Him, I go. If He shows me something different that He needs done, then if I serve Him, I go do that. I love this, and it's wonderful. But I have to be available to be His servant, just as He made His Son available to serve me. Remember, Jesus washed His disciples' feet as though He were a common servant, a common slave, a lowly person. He ate with sinners and tax collectors as though He were one of them, not the best of the best. And He asked us to humble ourselves, to reach out to those that we don't necessarily find attractive or appropriate, and see if we can help them to find what we found, to see what we see, to hear what we hear, to know what we know, to live in the light of that love that transforms us from just being human beings into creatures that are able to wear that crown of righteousness and be clothed in His glory. What an image. How much better is that than the finest fashions? How much better is that than the best food in this world that we live in? How much better in that than all the things we have? To know that in the end, we will be able to say, I will be crowned with the crown of righteousness, clothed in His glory, because I have kept the faith, run the race, done His will, done His work as His faithful servant. Amen.